This is Worship Team Basics, Part 2. What is a worshiper? Last time we looked at what is worship, and we said, just briefly reviewing, we said that worship is all about the worth of God, that God is infinitely worthy, and He reveals His worth to us, we respond to Him, and that, in a nutshell, is worship. So today we're moving on to what is a worshiper. I'm going to read John 4:23. Jesus said, "But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." Now notice that Jesus didn't say that God is seeking worship, did He? Scripture tells us that all creation declares His glory. All creation cries out in worship of the Lord. Just the fact that it's created declares the worth of God and worships Him, glorifies Him in that sense, and that He can even make the rocks cry out in praise. So He's not seeking worship. It says He's seeking true worshipers. All right, so a simple definition of a worshiper is one who spends their life seeking, seeing, and responding to God's revelation of His infinite worth. I'm going to say that again. A true worshiper is one who spends their life seeking, seeing, and responding to God's revelation of His infinite worth. Let's look first at seeking. Psalm 27:8 says, "You have said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." We're to seek God as we prepare our lives to be a dwelling place for Him. In 1 Chronicles 22:19, David said, giving instruction to his son Solomon and the others who were going to help him build the temple, he said, "Now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God." So David was issuing this command regarding the building of the temple, a sanctuary, a dwelling place for the presence of God in Jerusalem. So we seek Him now in the spirit realm. He doesn't dwell in a place, in a building made with hands. But we worship Him in spirit and truth. So we seek Him in the spirit realm. John 4:24 says that God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So as we prepare a dwelling place, we prepare our lives, our hearts as a dwelling place, a sanctuary for the presence of God. We come into the spirit realm where God dwells in reality. We seek to worship Him in truth as He really is, not as we might imagine Him to be in our minds. So we come where He is in the Spirit, and we seek Him as He really is in truth. All right, and a worshiper's deepest desire is to seek God. We read these commands to seek God, but we also see that David had a deep desire to seek God, far beyond the command to do so. Psalm 63:1, and this is in the New International Version, says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek You. I thirst for You. My whole being longs for You." He had a deep desire, and so must we, a deep desire. Not only must we, but do we find in ourselves. We find a deep desire as true worshipers to worship the Lord, to seek Him. All right, so first we seek Him. Secondly, we see Him. The Bible promises us that if we will seek the Lord, we will find Him. I imagine you can think of a lot of scriptures that would verify that. Jeremiah 29:13 is one of them. It says, "If you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me." In Proverbs 8:17, it says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." We know that in James 4:8, it says, "Draw near to the Lord, and He will draw near to you." So we're promised that if we seek Him, we find Him. And then when we find Him, we see Him. He reveals Himself to us. In Psalm 27:4, David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life," parentheses, my addition, going into the sanctuary of God, into the temple, to seek Him, looking for Him, searching for Him, and then finding Him. He sees Him. It says, "I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." So like David, when we seek the Lord, we find Him and then we see Him in the spirit realm where he is and in the truth as he really is. He reveals himself to us. We seek him and find him, and we see him. He reveals himself to us. John experienced this. In Revelation 1:10, John says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Okay, he was seeking God. He was in the spirit on the Lord's day, seeking him where he is in spirit. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. So, okay, first of all, John heard a loud voice. He heard a voice speaking, and then he saw Jesus. The Lord revealed himself to John. Now, remember that this is John, who was more than likely Jesus' best friend in earthly terms. He was the closest to John as he probably was to any human being, the New Testament shows us. John knew him very well in the earth realm, but now he sees him in the spirit realm in truth as he really is. Jesus reveals himself. In verses 12 through 16 of Revelation 1, he's heard his voice, now he sees him. John says, I turned towards the voice which was talking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and there was someone like the Son of Man among the lampstands. He was wearing a robe that reached his feet. He wore a gold belt around his waist. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like glowing bronze, refined in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of raging waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun when it shines in all its brightness. So, seeking him in prayer, in the Spirit, John found him. He saw Jesus in all his beauty, all his majesty, all his power, all his glory, and on and on and on. Everything that he was, John saw there in that moment. So there's seeking, there's seeing, and then thirdly, there's responding. When we see him, we respond to him in worship. So this is a voluntary response. We choose to worship him. Psalm 89:1 says, I will sing of the goodness and loving kindness of the Lord forever. So the Lord reveals his goodness and loving kindness. That's the revelation that we see of him. And then with the will, we choose to worship. I will sing of the goodness and the loving kindness of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness from generation to generation. It's voluntary, but one day there will be no choice. When Jesus is revealed in all his glory, his infinite worth will simply demand a response. John experienced also this involuntary response. When he had the revelation there in Revelation chapter 1 that we were reading a few moments ago, when he had the revelation of Jesus, it says in verse 17, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. He just had no strength and no control over himself. He simply fell at the feet of Jesus. It was an involuntary response of bowing to the Lord. Philippians 2:8-11 says, and being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. There's no invitation there. There's no command there. It's simply a reality. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All right, on that day, it will not be an invitation. It won't be a choice. It won't even be a command. It will just simply be a reality, because the glory, the splendor, the greatness, and the worthiness of God in Jesus Christ is so beyond the scope of anything or anyone else that can be imagined, that when he's fully revealed, he will be fully worshiped by everyone and everything everywhere. Isn't that a glorious thought? In the meantime, may we choose to be the true worshipers that God is searching for now, seeking, seeing, and responding to the revelation of his infinite worth.